I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power, the Terry and Jesse Show, two Catholics with a PhD in common sense. My name is Jesse Romero. I am the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of Our Lady, and I'm reporting for duty. Terry.
Jesse, Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I am reporting for duty also, sir. And Jess, this is an amazing show. I'll tell you why. Bishop Athanasius Snyder, in my mind, is one of the greatest bishops we have in the church today. And I'm kind of wedded to him in the sense of spiritually, because he is part of the Opus Angelorum, the work of the holy angels. And my spiritual director taught Bishop Strickland, Bishop Snyder, all of his classes in the seminary, Father William Wagner. So I have a great love for Bishop Snyder. He's been on our show many times, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Father's latest encyclical. And the headlines on LifeSite News is this: Bishop Snyder, today the Church of Rome finds herself in a spiral collapse. So much corruption going on. But again, what's our job here at the Terry and Jesse Show at Virgin Most Powerful? To help build you up in the faith, to get you to heaven. And so this is going to be a show where we're going to analyze the Holy Father's encyclical. Pope, I should say, the Bishop Snyder points out the good things in there, but also says the ambiguous things that are just not what we call a part of the perennial teachings of the church. And as I say to everybody, that's how you know when you need to stick with it. If it's the perennial teachings, then you can do that, because even the Holy Father can't change any of the perennial teachings of the church. But before we do that, Jess, we're not going to go to the gospel. We're going to go to the first reading of today's Mass. Could you read that? Because it's powerful.
Yeah, it's inspirational. And today's first reading is a letter from St. Paul to the Ephesians. Here's what it says. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Notice, everything happens in life either by God's direct will,
yep,
or his permissive will. In this instance, Paul was chosen by God by his direct will. It says, to the holy ones who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what St. Paul calls the followers of Christ in Ephesus, holy ones. Or the Greek word is actually saints. He's calling them saints. But he's not canonizing them. He's calling them saints in an optimistic sense. In a hopeful sense, should I say. Hopeful, because we're not optimists, we're people of hope. So his hopeful expectation that these followers of Christ in Ephesus will one day become saints in heaven. And then look at the pleasantries that he... This is the opposite. See, Catholics, we do the opposite of what witches and Satanists do. They curse and hex, we bless. Look what he says here. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So St. Paul is offering a blessing to the church in Ephesus, which is quite the opposite what you hear from leftists and progressives. Hate, anger, cursing. It goes on to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, first person and second person of the Blessed Trinity being outlined there by St. Paul, the great theologian. He says, he's talking about these two persons of the Trinity, saying, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be what? Holy and without blemish before him. A lot of theology here to unpack. So we were chosen by God in Christ from before the foundation of the world. When did that occur metaphysically in us? Baptism. At baptism, we were definitively chosen by God, and we were made now sons in the Son. And this was already in God's plan, in his foreknowledge, before he even created the world. What did God create us for? To be lawyers, politicians, to be, you know, CEOs, to be professional athletes? No, he chose us to be holy. That's what he chose us for. What does it mean to be holy? Holy in Greek and in Hebrew means A life set apart for God. That's what holy means. My state in life, I'm a married man, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. That's my state in life. So Jess Romero's called to be holy within that construct that God has put me in, that sacramental construct. Goes on to say, in love, he, pronoun, that's God, destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ in accord with the favor of his will. In other words, we as children of God, we're not children of God by nature. We're children of God by adoption. That's a difference. Christ is the Son of God by nature. Homoousios. He shares the nature of the Father in the life of the Trinity. We are sons of God by his will, but by grace, by adoption through baptism. It says, and for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the beloved. In Christ, we have redemption by his blood. Redemption means to let a prisoner free and then to buy that prisoner for yourself. That's what Old and New Testament redemption means, to let a prisoner free and then to purchase that prisoner that you set free for yourself. How were we set free from the slavery to sin? By the blood of Jesus. And now with that blood, Jesus has bought us to himself. It says the forgiveness. So what does the blood of Jesus do? Here it is. The forgiveness of transgressions, that means sins, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. In other words, lavished, that's the sacramental grace that he pours upon us through the seven sacraments of the church. He lavishes this upon us. Grace comes through the sacraments, the sanctifying grace. And St. Paul says, in all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him as the plan for the fullness of times. To sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. What a great summary, Jesse. I love this.
So what is God's plan ultimately? It's the last verse. It's the last. The will of God is ultimately to bring all things to captivity in Christ. Many popes have used this as their coat of arms, as their motto, to sum up all things in Christ. That's the goal. But guess what? Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs the Son of God a whole life, especially the last 3 years of torture and suffering and ultimate death on the cross. Although salvation is free, we must cooperate with that, because if we don't cooperate with that free salvation given to us in Christ, we will lose our salvation and end up in hell.
Well said, Jesse. And, you know, I think of the Baltimore Catechism summarizing the why did God make us. And, you know, for those who have not had a Baltimore Catechism, go online and get it. And if you want it on video, I can get that for you. If you, you know, we have a DVD, a 58-minute DVD on our Catholic faith. You can have it. If you want to make a donation, great. If you can't, that's okay, too. Call 877-526-2151. Jesse, this reading fits perfect with what Fulton Sheen has to share with us. So let's bring the good bishop in to our studio.
Absolutely.
Mr. Engineer, our train. Oh, okay, we didn't get the train. Well, hey, there it goes. It's just running a little behind schedule, but that's okay. Here's what Bishop Sheen has to say. Full Sheen ahead. Let's face that. He says about eternity. Jesse, you just talked about it in the first reading. But he said, Bishop Sheen says, God says to us, Jesse Romero, Terry Barbara, you, our listener, you give me your time, Jess Romero, Terry Barber, and you, our listener. And our Lord says, I will give you my eternity. It doesn't get any simpler. And that's why, Jess, I talk about self-abandonment, that you give yourself to Christ and he will use you. You know, Jesse talked about doing the will of God. Let's face it. You know, God's will is manifested in Jess Romero's life, my life, as we fulfill our duties and our state in life. Don't get frustrated over COVID-19. Big deal. I'm sorry. What's more important is doing the will of God. What is God calling you to do? Be a good grandfather, good husband, you know, all these things that we do in our daily life. This is the key. And that's why here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio, the number one thing we do is not tell you the politics. The number one thing we tell you is to fall in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, so you can get to heaven. Because Life is short and eternity is forever.
Absolutely. Terry, today's St. Teresa of Avila's feast
day. Oh, she's great. Let's talk about her.
And so we pray St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us. She's a doctor of the church, lived back in the 16th century. There's a famous prayer attributed to her, which goes like this, and it's perfect for the time that we're living in right now.
Yes.
She says, quote, "Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you.
I love it.
All things are passing.
Yes.
God only is changeless. Patience gains all things. Who has God wants nothing. God alone suffices." Amen. St. Teresa of Avila, Carmelite nun, mystic, doctor of the church. She wrote this back in the 16th century. Pray for us.
And Jesse, because we're talking about the problems in the church when she was running around, when she tells a story when she wanted to go to confession and the priest didn't know the formula for the absolution, she put a little piece of paper under the confessional and said, "Father, just read from this prayer. Now absolve me from my sins." That's how bad it was at her time. So if we're thinking it's pretty rough right now, which it is, Jess, hey, we've been here before, but you know what? It's the saints that will renew the church. And there's a crisis of saints right
now.
That's
what the catechism actually says. It's in paragraph 828.
That's right.
That's what it doesn't say. The clergy doesn't say it says saints.
That's right.
And that's all ranks of life, especially the rank and file, because we're 99% of the church.
Exactly. Hey, when we come back, Jess, Bishop Athanasius Schneider is going to have it. It's an interview that we have from LifeSite News from the Remnant magazine talking about today's Church of Rome finding herself in a spiral collapse. How can we help Holy Mother the Church? By living a holy life. We just said that. We'll be back with more to inspire you to fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and His church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us.
Boy, big time.
Bishop Athanasius Schneider.
Yep.
has made a comment and a statement in an interview. He said that today the Church of Rome finds herself in spiritual collapse. I always find it's much better for myself and Terry, who are lay people.
Yep.
Whenever we do shows like this, I actually, just like a bulletproof vest, I'll be honest with you, I seek coverage under a bishop or a cardinal. It's a lot better than quoting a layperson, because we have no authority, ecclesiastical authority, over the clergy. We're lay people. And so we look to the clergy because these are the successors of the apostles, the bishops and cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And so this article, Ruben, is quoting one of the successors of the apostles. It's very long, so let me get right into it. He talks about some highlights of this document, Pope Francis. And Bishop Athanasius Snyder, he says that he's expressing grief.
Yep.
Grief. That's what he says over Pope Francis's latest.
And why does he say it? Because lack of clarity in the supernatural horizon. That's the key, Jess.
Yep. The document is called Fratelli Tutti. And again, he said what Terry just said right now.
Yep.
It lacks a clear supernatural horizon. He also, Bishop Athanasius Snyder says, it misrepresents St. Francis, and it further causes, he says, theological confusion, that he says that the Holy Father created with his Abu Dhabi statement. And so he had an interview with the Remnant, and he said, Bishop Snyder said this: Pope Francis represents St. Francis as though he's been a supporter of the diversity of religions, rather the auxiliary bishop of Astana in Kazakhstan points out St. Francis was all about converting people to the one true faith. And in making this point, Bishop Snyder quotes Pope Pius XI's description of St. Francis as a man who set personally and commanded his disciples to occupy themselves before anything else with the conversion of the heathen to the faith and to the law of Christ. So rather than correct the religious relativism that plagued the Pope's controversial Abu Dhabi statement, which falsely asserted that the pluralism and the diversity of religions was willed by God in his wisdom, according to Bishop Athanasius Snyder, he says that this latest encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, did not correct Abu Dhabi, but instead solidified it. And he said it would have been a great benefit. Bishop Snyder says it would have been a great benefit to the church had this latest encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, pointed to the need for all men to believe in Jesus Christ, who's God and man, in order to find the indispensable source of true fraternity and the key to solving the problems of temporal societies. In other words, Bishop Snyder saying, we cannot become brothers through any other system or any other religion except through Jesus Christ. That's what Bishop Snyder is pointing out.
And Jesse, let me jump in to say that you remember we had Bishop Athanasius Snyder on several years ago talking about what Pope Francis said regarding all religions are willed by God. And he specifically, at his edliminal visit, asked the Holy Father to say, that's not what the Catholic Church teaches, Holy Father. And so the Holy Father said, you're right. And so the Bishop Athanasius asked the Holy Father, will you correct that? Because people are going to be misled by that. And the response he gave to Bishop Athanasius Snyder right here on Virgin Most Powerful was, you do it. So he's doing it right now. But my frustration, Jesse, is as a layman, is, Holy Father, please, for clarity purposes, you know, you say that it's not, but then in writing, you say another thing. I don't appreciate ambiguity. I want clarity with charity. Now, Jesse, that's what Bishop Athanasius told us right on the air. Now, there are other highlights of Bishop Snyder's interview. I'll just go through each bullet.
There are five bullets.
Yeah, let's go through the first
one. Go through each one.
Okay, the truth, we'll go back and forth. The truth which our Lord revealed and his church has unchangeably and constantly proclaimed remains forever valid. That's what we call the perennial teachings of the church. The chief duty of all men is to cling to religion in both its reaching and practice, not such religion as they may have preference for, but the religion which God enjoins and which certain and most clear marks show to be the only, just as the key, Jesse, the only one true religion. See, there are no other true religions. We're it. That's what Pope Leo XIII said back in an encyclical back almost 100 years ago.
And many other popes have said that.
Of course, it can sit. That's what we call it, the perennial teachings.
But it, the waters have been muddied. That's what Bishop Snyder is saying.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
By the ambiguity, by... And one of the things, just so you know, here's what, Terry, here's what modernists, the way they write.
Oh, yeah.
Write, Terry, they write long with a lot of words. They're very wordy and very ambiguous. If you want to see a classic case of like political modernism, it would be like Obamacare. I don't know how many thousands of pages it was. It was written like that because nobody would have time to read it.
Nope.
So Nancy Pelosi says, just vote yes on it. And then, you know, you can read it after we
later.
Vote and we pass it. See, that's modernism,
yeah,
Terry.
That's right, Jess.
You write something that you want to pass through that's wrong.
You nailed it.
You write it so long that you know people aren't going to read it. And in there, you insert all this ambiguous language. There's political and also theological modernism, and we're seeing it in our church right now.
Yep.
Second bullet. Each Catholic and all the shepherds of the church, first and foremost the Pope, should burn with zeal and love for all those who, unfortunately, are only our brothers according to the flesh and blood. In other words, according to Adam.
Right.
That they might be born of God in the supernatural sonship in Christ and truly become brothers in Christ.
Through baptism.
If church leaders in our day are content with the brotherhood of flesh and blood, with fratelli tutti in flesh and blood, they're neglecting God's commandments in the gospel. That is the commandment to make the members of all nations and religions disciples of Christ, sons in the only begotten Son of God, brothers in Christ, baptizing them in the Trinitarian formula, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. Such zeal, says Bishop Athanasius Snyder, is for a Christian soul the deepest expression of love of neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
To love him as you love yourself, if your divine sonship in Christ represents for you the greatest conceivable gift of God, which it truly is, then you lack the true love and charity for your neighbor if you do not burn with the desire to communicate this gift to him, of course, with delicacy and respect. So what he's saying, Terry, we must burn for love for the conversion of the Jews, Muslims,
and
Protestants,
atheists. Everyone, Jesse.
We must burn with love. We can't sit there and just say, hey, let's just eat a gelato together and just, dialogue and just kind of go back and forth. We have to show, like what it says in the Bible, zeal for the gospel consumes me. Terry?
And the household of God. Wow, Jesse.
Yes.
Next one. The new encyclical aggravates the naturalism resigning in the church today, which can be described as a lack of love for the cross of Christ. Remember Sheen said that? We've walked away from the cross of Christ. For prayer, and the lack of an awareness of grievousness of sin and the necessity of reparation. Jess, he nailed it. Think about right now, everybody doesn't think about sin. Are you kidding me? Look at the confessional lines. Remember Father Bill Casey pointed that out at our family conference? We see it all the time. The lines, very, very few people are going. And let's face it, Jess, what Bishop Athanasius Snyder is saying is he's describing what you and I have experienced. This is nothing new, what he's saying, but it's nice to hear a bishop call it out and say, we need to make reparation for these things. That's why we tell people here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio to make reparation by your prayers, your actions, offering things up on Wednesdays and Fridays, sacrifices, because the church needs that. And this is what Bishop Athanasius Snyder is saying to us, that we need to pick it up because our leaders have dropped the ball.
That's right. And the encyclical Fratelli Tutti,
mm-hmm.
what it means is all brothers.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Right.
All brothers. Here's the fourth, the
bullet.
Fourth bullet, the third bullet
yep.
that Bishop Athanasius cites as to why he has problems with this encyclical, all brothers. He says this, the new encyclical aggravates the naturalism. This is the key to understanding this whole topic
yes.
of modernism. Aggravates the naturalism reigning in the church today, which can be described as a lack of love for the cross of Christ, for prayer, a lack of awareness of the grievousness of sin and the necessity of reparation.
Amen.
In other words, Terry,
yeah.
you'll find political modernism, it's completely a horizontal view of life. They have no understanding
vertical.
Of death, judgment,
yep.
heaven, and hell. None. And theological modernism is much the same. They reduce the Catholic faith to a natural religion with natural explanations and natural solutions, and they have forgotten the supernatural component of Catholicism, which is, once again, it starts at baptism. That's when we become truly brothers, as theology teaches. You become a son in the Son at baptism. Before that, you're just a natural. You have a natural relationship with God as creature and creator.
Well said. And, you know, Bishop Strickland said exactly the same thing in front of the bishops' conference when he said, guys, do we believe in the supernatural? Or are we just like anybody, the ordinary? And so this is what's happening. Now, another bullet point. This is very serious, Jesse, what Bishop Athanasius Snyder is saying. The similarities, and this is really scary in one sense, and overlap of the Freemasonic idea of fraternity and the one proposed in Fratelli Tutti are striking. In other words, there's a connection there. And that's why, Jesse, I'll finish. The Masons in England and Spain and Rome, they're all approving, saying this is a great document because they agree with it. Now, substantially, Pope Francis presents a merely earthy and temporal fraternity. That's what the Masons do, fraternity of flesh and blood on the natural level. It is ultimately a fraternity based on, you nailed it earlier, the born of the first Adam and not Jesus Christ, the new Adam. Boy, Jesse, open that up because Freemasonry, we talk about infiltrating the church. Are you kidding me? This is an example of it, is it not?
Yeah, this is a perfect example. It doesn't get any better than this. You got Freemasons around the world that are acclaiming the Pope's new encyclical.
Yeah, it's a great thing.
And again, Pope Francis is calling for a universal fraternity. That should be applauded. But there has to be a universal brotherhood, Terry, based on Christ, the sacrament.
Conversion.
Because only Christ can lead us to God the Father.
Absolutely.
Not Freemason, not Freemasonic precepts. And you have, for example, this week there was a statement by the Grand Logia in Spain.
Oh, yeah.
They proclaim that in 300 years of modern Freemasonry, they say that, that this principle statement, that it demonstrates that they agree with them. It's their desire.
Yeah.
They acknowledge that this encyclical comports with their worldview, Terry.
We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial.
Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest, I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love it.
Out there.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
As Catholic Christians, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. That's what John 17, verse 14 and 15 tells us. And that's where Freemasonry is wrong. It's a world system based on the denial of the lordship and divinity and the kingship of Jesus Christ. They totally reject the social kingship of Christ. And our Lord told us in John 17, 14 and 15, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world.
Yeah.
Just as I'm not of the world. Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. This is the clash between Catholic Christianity, which teaches the social kingship of Christ. There is a life, death, heaven and hell, death, judgment, heaven and hell. And we were made for heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Freemasonry has this world system, this worldview, this secular view, natural worldview. And this is starting to infiltrate, Terry, the Catholic Church. And we see this.
Yeah.
And Bishop Snyder is pointing this out in the encyclical called Fratelli Tutti, All Brothers. Yes.
Yeah.
All our brothers, Terry,
yeah.
in a perfect sense, in Christ.
Yes.
But it's very imperfect if we just remain in the brotherhood of Adam.
Jesse, the Bible also says Jesus taught that if the world hates you, it hated me first. And he actually predicted that the world will hate you. So, Jess, I'm going to be honest with you. If I started hearing worldly people saying, Jesse Romero, you're a good guy, you're doing this, you're doing that, I mean, I would be worried, bro. I know that, but I would just say, Jess, hey bro, there's something wrong here. They shouldn't be saying that about you because you're a follower of Christ. Now, if you compromise, and that's what I think happens in our culture, people start complimenting the church leadership. And the only reason they do compliment them is when they compromise, because that's what the world wants us. They want us to just get along with people. And our uniqueness as followers of Christ, we have to talk about conversion. We have to talk about sharing the gospel with whoever we meet. We can't say, oh, well, you know what, let's just have a cup of coffee and just agree to disagree. No, we have to engage the culture. And I think that's what the church has been doing for 2,000 years. And so when we see an encyclical like this, Jesse, I don't see it engaging. I see it compromising.
Encyclicals are meant to teach us and to draw us closer to Christ. And again, I think we're just losing all this about, you know, washing hands, wear a mask, and now, and all this natural teaching, Terry.
Yeah.
This doesn't build up the body of Christ. We want to hear the gospel. We want to hear the hard truths. Let's continue with the encyclical. It says this.
Yeah.
Another bullet. How needed, this is from Bishop Athanasius Snyder, his analysis of Fratelli Tutti, All Brothers.
Fratelli
Tutti.
He says,
how needed and beneficial it would have been for the whole of humanity had Pope Francis proclaimed his social encyclical what all the apostles, church fathers, and popes had done, declaring to men of all nations and religions this truth. The greatest benefit and happiness is to accept Jesus Christ, God and man, the only Savior, and to believe in Him. Close quote. It's that simple, Terry.
Well, Jesse,
don't make it any more complicated.
No, and you know, I'll just give an example. 1925, Christ the King, the kingship of Christ. The Holy Father came out with an encyclical pointing this out, that every square inch of planet Earth is owned by Jesus Christ. We have to proclaim Jesus to every single person. And what I've noticed here is this is what we call the perennial teachings of the church. So even if a pope told us, you know what, Jess, stop evangelizing, stop, you know, going out and preaching and telling people they need Jesus. If some pope told you that, you could say, you know what, Holy Father, I can't obey that because that's not consistent with the perennial teachings of the church. And we would be doing a service to the Holy Father. That's my take. Jess, one more thing. This is a long document, but something about St. Francis. Can we, because when you mentioned at the beginning of the show that he was, the Holy Father was misrepresenting St. Francis of Assisi.
That's what Pope Bishop Snyder said.
Yes, and I agree with him because...
I'm just quoting Bishop
Snyder. Yeah, I'm quoting him too, but I happen to agree because here's what he said. Indeed, St. Francis did not smooth over faults of any, but smite them, nor flattered the life of sinners, but rather aimed at it with a stern reproof. Unto great and small alike he spoke with the same firm spirit. Now, here's what the Holy Father put in. With all due respect, he said, Pope Francis presents St. Francis as though he's been a supporter of the diversity of religions. That's just not true. The scope of St. Francis's visit to the Sultan in Egypt, we all know about that, but you got to read the story. He was there to evangelize him. He wasn't there to just have a dialogue with him, and that's what we've been presented here, and that's just not true. Rather, it was precise aim of Pope Francis was to preach to the Muslim the gospel of Jesus Christ. One must regret, and I mean, that's a nice way of saying it, that Pope Francis reduces St. Francis to a man who sought to embrace everyone. Jesse, I find that just disturbing the church. And I'm sorry, Holy Father, but it's a humble acknowledgement that you misrepresented Francis of Assisi.
Terry, again, a lot of people are seeing a lot of Freemason concepts within the document. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem, again, because I'll just digress to something that's I'm very comfortable with.
Yeah.
Father Chad Ripperger, who's a Thomist exorcist, he says that there's a link between Freemasonry and the diabolical. He's got a book, it's called Deliverance Prayers for the Laity, and on page 123, during minor exorcisms and major solemn exorcisms, he says a lot of people become possessed of Freemasonry. So he takes them through a renunciation prayer. It goes like this. He says, quote, a Freemason that wants to get free of diabolical possession, obsession, or possession, they have to say this, quote, I renounce and utterly forsake the great architect of the universe, who is revealed in this degree as Lucifer. So that's part of the prayer that Father takes the person through. So what is he talking about here? When you become a 33rd degree Mason, it's revealed to you at that moment by the lodge that the great architect that you've been praying to and worshiping all the steps of Masonry, it's finally revealed to you that it's Lucifer, a.k.a. the devil. But that isn't revealed to you till the 33rd degree. That's why a lot of Masons become cases of possession for exorcists in the Catholic Church. It's a dangerous system because they look at Satan. Remember, Satan is called what? He's called the God of this world three different times. And in John chapter 12, verse 31, John chapter 16, verse 11, 1 John 5, 19, he's the God of this world. Freemasonry has people look simply to human solutions, to worldly solutions. Terry, that's diabolical. That's pointing people towards the diabolical.
And you know, Jesse, I want to make something clear. The church says back even as late as 1985 through Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, you can't be a Catholic and a Mason. We've heard about people saying, well, I'm a Catholic priest and I'm a Mason. Okay, you have to renounce your membership into Freemasonry. And some people might even be listening right now and saying, oh, yeah, I'm a Freemason. But that's okay. No, the church says you can't be both. And I think some people have forgotten that fact. So I just wanted to clearly make that point. It looks like Dr. Ed Maz is calling in to have a comment, Mr. Engineer. We can bring him on, but just continue while we get Dr. Ed. He wants to join
in.
The
meat of this is towards the end where Bishop Snyder, he's asked by the interviewer, are there any final thoughts you wish to add on Fratelli Tutti? And here's what Bishop Snyder says. He says, Fratelli Tutti, this encyclical about brotherhood, he says it gives us that impression that at the price of a universal aspiration to fraternity for world peace and living together, seen as being good and sincere, the proclamation of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ as the only Savior and King of all humankind and nations was sacrifice in this encyclical. How needed and beneficial it would have been, says Bishop Snyder, for the whole of humanity had Pope Francis proclaimed in this social encyclical what all the apostles, church fathers, and popes had done, declaring to men of all nations and religions this truth, that the greatest benefit and happiness is to accept Jesus Christ, God and man, the only Savior, and to believe in Him. A new social encyclical today should also echo these words of the church's first social encyclical, Rerum Novarum, on paragraph 27, where it says this, quote, "Civil society was renovated in every part by Christian institutions. Of this beneficent transformation, Jesus Christ was at once the first cause and the final end. As from Him all came, so to Him was all to be brought back. For when the human race, by the light of the gospel message, came to know the grand mystery of the incarnation of the Word and the redemption of man, at once the life of Jesus Christ, God and man, pervaded every race and nation and interpenetrated them with His faith, His precepts, and His laws. And if human society is to be healed now, in no other way can it be healed save by a return to Christian life and Christian institutions. Hence, to fall away from its primal constitution implies disease. To go back to it, recovery." Terry, that's moral clarity from Pope Leo XIII.
Mike is Mike.
Absolute moral clarity.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I will say is Bishop Athanasius also was asked, what do you see as the strengths of positive elements of this new encyclical? I'm not saying everything is bad in it, okay? Bishop Schneider says one of the most luminous and theologically sound passages in this document is this: if we go to the ultimate source of that love, which is the very life of the triune God, we encounter in the community of the three divine persons the origin of a perfect model of life in society. This is number 85. This affirmation is a true light in the midst of a narrow, naturalistic horizon, religious relativism, and deficient supernatural perspective of this encyclical. Another important element is Pope Francis' rejection of any endeavor to build a society against the plan of God. So there's good things in there, but, you know, I hate to say this, it's 60-some thousand words, Jesse. That's a lot of reading to do. Hey, when we come right back, you'll hear more. Don't forget on...
It's like Obamacare,
yeah,
Terry.
Yeah, don't forget...
People write like that on purpose.
Right. November 7th, we have a special What Every Catholic Needs to Know series coming out. Please check it out on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Dr. Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, Dr. Brant Petrie, and many others, Jesse Romero included, will be there November 7th. We'll be right back.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Straight Talk Catholicism, the Terry and Jesse Show. We're looking at, there's an interview that LifeSite News did with Bishop Snyder, and the article's called "The Church of Rome is in Spiritual Collapse." And Bishop Athanasius Snyder, as a successor of the apostles, he's expressing grief over Pope Francis's latest encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, which means all brothers. It's a long article. You can read it for yourself so you can get the gist of what's going on here. We're just trying to give you some highlights.
Mm-hmm.
But is Dr. Ed Mazza, is he on, Terry?
No, I for some reason we lost him. He was okay. Just on for a minute. Keep going,
sure.
Yes.
So Bishop Athanasius Snyder, he says in a statement, they asked him this question, or he said, in a statement to the media, the Grand Lodge of Spain expressed its satisfaction with Pope Francis' latest encyclical, declaring that the Pope has adopted the Freemasonic concept of fraternity and driven the Catholic Church away from reformer positions. The Masonic statement reads as follows, quote, this is from the Spanish Grand Lodge, quote, 300 years ago saw the birth of modern Freemasonry. The great principle of this initiatory school has not changed in three centuries. The construction of a universal brotherhood where human beings call each other brothers beyond their specific creeds, their ideologies, the color of their skin, their social attractions, mm-hmm. their language, their culture, or their nationality. In other words, a natural religion. And this is, by the way, this is a perfect setup for the Antichrist. Perfect.
Yep.
It says, the Spanish lodge says this fraternal dream collided with religious fundamentalism, that's what they call Catholics, which in the case of the Catholic Church led to harsh texts condemning the tolerance of Freemasonry in the 19th century. Pope Francis' latest encyclical demonstrates how far the current Catholic Church is from its former positions. In Fratelli Tutti, the Pope embraces the universal fraternity, the great principle of modern Freemasonry. So this is a statement that was put out by the Grand Lodge of Spain. They're saying, boy, oh boy, we can get behind this document because this is what we've been saying for 300 years. Terry?
Yes, I just want to back up about 20 years from right now to the year 2000. We remember when St. John Paul II put a document out called Dominus Jesus. And that document was on the uniqueness of the Catholic Church, that it had the fullness of the truth, and that our Protestant brothers have a portion of the truth, but not the fullness, and that we want to proclaim that. Well, I have to say the facts are, as Pope Francis, as a Archbishop Cardinal, he did not want to go to Rome when Pope John Paul II called all the cardinals to Rome to talk about this document and to proclaim it, and he rejected it. And it makes sense now, 20 years later, Jess. Do you see the connection?
There's two that rejected it. Yep. Cardinal Bergoglio rejected to meet with the Holy Father on this document.
And my buddy.
And Cardinal Roger Mahoney.
Exactly.
Both of them, and they made it known, Terry, through the press. The press sent basically a shot to the Vatican.
Yes.
Cardinal Roger Mahoney and Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio disagree with the document on that the Catholic Church, you know, Dominus Jesus, mm-hmm. they will not be visiting the Holy Father on this document. Both
right.
of them, they send press releases to let the whole world know that they disagreed.
Yeah, that's true. Jesse, I just want to mention something. Our good friends over at Church Militant just texted me, asked me if I could mention this on the air, and of course I will. The point is, at 3 o'clock our time today, there's a special one-hour show on the election, some of the latest things that are going on in the election. So I would encourage people to go to churchmilitant.com to check out that. Okay, and Dr. Ed is on right now?
Dr. Ed, you're on. Go.
Hi. Oh, I am here, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Too blessed to be stressed. Talk to us. You're deep into this. What's your analysis?
Well, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with Bishop Schneider. Did you guys talk about the Pachamama coin that was minted?
No, that's another topic. Dr. Marshall did that. Just I saw that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to let you guys know I'm going to be offering a course starting in the Sundays of Advent. Mm-hmm. And it's about the advent of Christ and mm-hmm. his church and the advent of the Antichrist and his church, his mm. anti-church. One of the reasons I'm so excited about this, I mean, there's a good side to that and a bad side to that, but the bad side is that, you know, Bishop Sheen gave us a little hint what the Antichrist and his church can look like. And let me just lay this quote on the audience here. He says, because his religion will be brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's another word for brotherhood? Fraternity,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Masonic.
Because his religion will be brotherhood without the fatherhood of God.
Yes.
Mm. He will deceive even the elect.
Yep.
Now, that's from Scripture, right? Now, we know the elect is the Pope and the bishops.
Yep.
And the, you know, the Monsignors
hierarchy.
And
hierarchy.
Bishop Sheen continues, and he wrote this in the 1940s, Bishop.
Yeah, amazing.
He will set up a counter church, which will be the ape of the Catholic Church.
That's
in other
right.
words, you know, monkey see, monkey do, a copycat, right?
Yep.
Because he, the devil, is the ape of God.
Yep.
And this is the scary part. This anti-church will have all the notes and characteristics of the church. You see, that's how we can be deceived. That's how we can be taken in. But here's the tell. That it's false, but in reverse and emptied of its divine content. So I might suggest here to give a little teaser for what I'm going to cover in the course, but it's reverse because instead of – it's like the Mass nowadays, right? Instead of the worship of God, it's the worship of the community. It's in reverse, okay?
Yep.
It's emptied of its divine content. What do we mean by that? Well, look at the latest encyclical, Fratelli Tutti.
Yeah.
You can go through 40,000 words, and there's never once a mention of heaven, hell, the four last things, the judgment of God. And when Jesus is talked about, he's talked about like as if he's a philosopher. He's not called the Son of God.
Yeah.
He's not called Christ the King. So there's some very disturbing trends coming from Rome today. So I'd have to agree with Bishop Schneider.
Yeah.
And we'd have to go back and reread Our Lady of La Salette, I think.
Ed, you mentioned the quote from Fulton Sheen. That's in Bishop Athanasius Snyder's book. I think it's like on page 327. Do you remember the title of that book? Because I want people to, I'd say it's a Latin phrase. Do you remember his book, the title of Bishop Athanasius's book?
Is that the one about the Eucharist?
No. We're talking about a big, thick book about crisis. Uh-huh. You don't. Anyhow, people can look on the internet with Bishop Athanasius Snyder. The book is about a 400-page book talking about things like you're talking about, and that's where he quoted Fulton Sheen. I want to recommend everyone to read his book. It's something about Christus.
And I can give you the...
I'm going to look it up on the
Christ
internet.
Vincent, Christ Conquers.
That's it, Christ Conquers. That's his book.
Yeah.
Yes, you have it. I have it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's right.
I got it.
I know you do.
In Bishop Sheen, it's Communism and the Conscience of the West.
That's right.
And that's just been recently republished.
It should be.
Refuge of Sinners Publishing.
Good. Excellent, Dr. Ed. And Ed, your show is on Monday here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And if people want to sign up again for your classes, what website do they go to for that, Dr. Ed?
Oh, thanks, Terry. They would just go to edmundmazza.com, EDMUNDMAZZA.com.
Good. Well, Ed, you always join in on these conversations, and you know, you always surprise me when I hear that you're calling in, so you're always welcome to hear at the Terry and Jesse
That's
show.
Right.
Thanks so much, Ed.
Thank you, guys.
God love you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Terry, St. Maximilian Kolbe, he warned us about Freemasonry back in 1939.
Yep.
And in the years leading up to the Second World War.
Yep.
He said that the Masonic clique disapproved of on several occasions by the popes, by the way.
Yeah.
He says that they didn't hesitate to brandish in the streets of the city of Rome during the festivities in honor of Giordano Bruno. The Masons took to the streets of Rome with a black flag showing the Archangel Saint Michael beneath the feet of Lucifer. And the Masons also didn't hesitate to brandish the Masonic insignia beneath the windows of the Vatican. And there was also, they also wrote this down, on their flag, they put, quote, Satan will rule in the Vatican and the Pope will serve him in the uniform of a Swiss guard and other things of that kind, close quote. So the Masons have always had a mortal hatred for the Catholic Church and for the Vicar of Christ.
Yes.
And again, this isn't just a prank from some deranged individuals. This is a systematic action that proceeds from the principle of Freemasonry, which is to destroy not all religions, but specifically the Catholic religion.
Yeah.
And to give us a natural man-made, you know, brotherhood of man based upon Masonic principles. And again, all I want to say is St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. Knights of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
Pray for us.
Jesse, that was 1917. I'm familiar with St. Maximilian Kolbe. I was at his canonization 40 years ago, October 10th, 1982. And here's the kicker about that. When he saw the Masons putting the Holy Father under the head of Satan, you know, in other words, reversing Genesis 3:15 and putting the Pope down there rather than Satan, St. Maximilian Kolbe started the Knights of the Immaculata. He said, as a layman, he wasn't even ordained. He said, we need to bring an army of people, spiritual army, and that's what I am. I'm a member of the Knights of the Immaculata. And millions of people today in the world consecrate themselves to Our Lady to fight. And Jesse, I got to throw one more thing in. When I was in the monastery as a cumsee for the Franciscans, they were telling us that we used to say a prayer that we pray for Freemasons. We used to say it for enemies of Holy Church, and then we'd say especially the Freemasons. And while I was in formation, word got out from Rome that we're not supposed to say the Freemasons anymore. I raised my hand, Jess. I said, excuse me, Father Superior, why are we being politically correct and not saying the Freemasons if they're our enemy? And he says, well, you know, I can't answer that. It's below my pay grade. Well, I've always said, especially the Freemasons, because I think it's true. But you see how even back, what was that, 1978, 79, when that happened, Jess? Mm-hmm. And they were being politically correct and remove us from praying for enemies of church, especially the Freemasons. That's St. Maximilian Kolbe's words. So, yeah, have we been infiltrated? I think so.
Well, it's time to pick up our weapon of choice, as Sister Byrne says, as she encouraged the entire country.
Amen.
As she picked up her rosary at the RNC conference, she said, our weapon of choice is the rosary.
Yeah.
So let's pick up that weapon of choice as Catholics, and let's pray to make America great again. Unite our prayers to the heels of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Unite our prayers to St. Michael the Archangel. Unite our prayers to St. Joseph, Terror of Demons. Calling upon the precious blood of Jesus, and we will see the victory, Terry.
Well said. And don't forget, on the 7th of November, special conference through the video, through the internet, What Every Catholic Needs to Know series. We did this many years ago, but it's on the Bible, it's on our Blessed Mother, it's on the papacy, it's on hell, What Every Catholic, and these are great people, Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, all these great people that we brought in, Kimberly Hahn even. You can watch it on the 7th of November here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio, only on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And the way to sign up is go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org, or call us at 877-526-2151. Jess, what state should we be in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for Amy Comey Barrett.
Amen.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh, my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.